I want to just share some things with you tonight that I pray will be of an encouragement to you. We have been watching the Lord do glorious things all over the world because that's who He is. He's a real God. He's not a philosophy or an idea or a religion. He's a true and living God. And the reason we are able to call each other's brother and sister is because He has given us the privilege of becoming sons and daughters of God, of being able to approach His throne and connect with Him. Now, when I first really connected with the Lord, I was brought up at Sunday school. And I love what you're doing here here at C3 with the children. I was listening to how you love your children so well and you're training them. And I want to encourage you, Sunday school is so important to sow into our children. And I'm so grateful to be here with John and Danielle. I can't believe you've run up from the airport in Brisbane just to get here on time. When I first met these two, I was so, my spirit leapt with delight. I thought, these are people I could truly be friends with, that they carry the same heart, the same vision, their humility, and their love for Jesus just made my heart leap and sing. And I thought, they're safe and wise and kind and humble. It's true. It's true. No, it's true. It's true. You know, this genuine desire to know more, to be continually childlike in their faith. And I really like you. So I'm honored to be in your pulpit today. It's a tremendous privilege. Hallelujah. But I actually came to know the Lord on, well, close to the Sunshine Coast, Mount Tachikoi. Anybody remember back in the days, I was 12 years old and COC had a youth camp. I wasn't part of the COC movement, but a friend invited me. I believed in Jesus. I, you know, had been raised as a Christian. But during that camp, I was doing what we'd been taught to do, sing to the Lord, lift up your hands, worship the Lord. And I was lifting my hands and I was singing. But I got honest with God and I said, Lord, I can't see you and I don't know you. And this is really hard to sing to somebody I can't see and I don't know. You know, honest prayers are so powerful. God loves an honest prayer. And I said, oh, help. And right there in worship, suddenly I knew who I was singing to. I knew who I was talking to. And from that day, I believe that was my conversion moment. And you know, I've learned from that moment on that my best prayer is help. Because He's my ever-present help in time of need. And really, my time of need is all the time. And if you get honest, yours is too. Hallelujah. So I want to speak to you tonight about what it means to have that connection with the Lord. Before I jump in and we talk about Jesus, we've brought a few books with me. I've written, what have we got? Nearly all of them here, missing one. This one is Speak Life. This is about using your words to speak words of life to create what you are speaking, in that the Lord says that we are created in His image and He created the world with His words. He said death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so I've learned that God wants us to partner with what He says and to speak words of life, life-giving words. So that one's available up the back. This one here is From Wilderness to Wonders. It's about how to partner with the Lord when you have a promise and you haven't yet seen the fulfillment. Now, sometimes people think, well, we'll see if that happens. But the Bible gives us so many beautiful and precious promises. Often we'll receive prophetic words or we'll see something in the Word of God that we know is the will of God, but not understand How do we see that come to pass? Well, it's not about sitting back and waiting. It's about actually applying biblical principles. The Bible says, wage war with the prophetic words spoken over you. And there's principles in the Bible that teach us how to partner with God. And this is full of stories and encouragements with how you can partner with Him to see your promises come to pass. Hallelujah. This one was my first book. This is about how I stepped into the ministry of healing. Honestly, I just got frustrated. I would hear the stories about Reinhard Bonnke and Africa and Heidi Baker, and I'd watch Catherine Kuhlman videos and I'd cry. And I remember feeling, walking into a shopping center one day and seeing a little boy with spina bifida, and I just got so upset. I went into the bathroom and cried and said, Lord, it's not okay that I can feel so much compassion and feel so powerless. Lord, your word is the same. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You said the same works that you did and greater works we do. So God, I don't know what I'm missing, but whatever it is, I need to see a breakthrough. And you know, frustration, you have a choice when you're in a place of frustration. You can either sit down in a puddle and feel sorry for yourself, or you can pivot to hope. And holy frustration is a doorway to breakthrough. So if you're in that place, this might help you. Hallelujah. This one's Life with the Holy Spirit, how to experience intimacy with the Spirit of God. I went to an Anglican girls' school. We'd say the grace. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen. And it wasn't until I was older that I actually began to think about those words. Why was Paul praying this for believers? Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, I receive your grace. The love of God. Not a concept that you get and move on from, but it's a continual river that he wants to fill your deepest need with. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. I began to think about it. How do you have fellowship with somebody? Fellowship is conversation. And I'd never really thought about having conversation with the Holy Spirit. Pray to the Father in the name of the Son, and sort of the Holy Spirit just does his thing, and that's. But I began to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in revealing the Father, revealing the Son, teaching us, helping us, and learning how to lean in to the presence of the Spirit of God and to move with Him. So this is about fellowship with the Holy Spirit and what I've discovered. This is the only other one we have here. Double for your trouble. In Isaiah 61:7, the Bible says, for your former shame, pain, and disgrace, I will give you double recompense. I travel around the world, praise God, and they have different currencies everywhere. But if I tried to bring some of the Nigerian money or the euro or Singapore dollars and spend them here at Aldi, they'd look at me strangely and I wouldn't be able to pay for my stuff. But it is worth something. Like 20 euro is worth something, but here I can't do anything with it because it's from another kingdom. But if I bring it to the exchange place, the exchange rate will be applied and I'll get what I can use. In the kingdom of God, we know that it's righteousness, peace, and joy. But anything that isn't what is in heaven, sin, shame, pain, disgrace, dishonor, disappointment, this is all foreign currency. And it's worth something because you can exchange it. The Bible says, instead of your shame, I'll give you double honor. Instead of your sin, if you bring me your sin, I'll give you mercy, forgiveness, the righteousness of God. If you bring me your sickness, I'll give you healing. If you bring me your life, I'll give you my life. Hallelujah. The exchange rate of heaven is glorious. And the Bible says those who go forth weeping, bearing their bag of seed for sowing, will doubtless come again, bringing their sheaves with him. In the midst of our pain, in the midst of our grief, in the midst of our frustration or disappointment, recognize that you have foreign currency. Things that have happened to you, even things you've brought on yourself, because it was a promise given to the Israelites who'd brought trouble on themselves, you can bring it to the exchange table and go, here's some ashes. And the Lord says, well, I'll take that. And here's some beauty. Oh, here's some mess. And he says, here's a miracle. Double for our trouble. So learning how to sow your tears, that's what that one's about. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I did it. Let's open our Bibles if you've got them with you. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Hallelujah. You know, I believe that what I was doing when I was in worship that day, trying to find God, was exactly what this verse is talking about. I was seeking with a hunger and an expectation to find. You know, when you look with an expectation to see, God will be found by you. I don't like to let a single worship service go past with just singing some words and feeling like good in the atmosphere. I want to seek him and find him. I want to be aware of who I'm talking to. I used to be on the worship team and I'd be a backup singer trying to sing my harmonies. One day I'm singing, I love you, Lord, trying to get the harmonies right. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, who are you singing to? And I recognized, you know, I want all of my attention when I'm talking to the Lord, not to be just going through the motions, but I want to be connecting. I want to be seeking and finding. You know, when I read about the life of Jesus, we see him doing this so often. In Acts chapter 7, we see Stephen doing this. Stephen, who was stoned to death, martyred, the first martyr. We see him as they're hurling insults and as they're hurling stones at them. We read about him lifting his eyes to heaven and his face shining like that of an angel. I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. He had something. He had a connection that nothing and nobody could take from him. That is what is real, and that is what the world is looking for. And Jesus modeled this to us. We see it so often when he was about to do a notable miracle. You'll read when he's about to multiply the loaves and the fishes. Lifting his eyes to heaven, he blessed the bread, broke it, and multiplied it. Or lifting his eyes to heaven, Mark 7:34. Raising his eyes to heaven, he'd say, Ephphatha, be opened, and the ears would open, the deaf would hear. With a deep sigh, he was connecting with heaven in order to see the miraculous released. We see it again as he's standing outside of the tomb of Lazarus. And he's lifting his eyes. He lifts his eyes to the Lord, to the Father, and he begins to say, Father, I know you can hear me, but for their sake, I'm saying this. And then he just declares, Lazarus, come forth. You know, the disciples were fascinated by this. Jesus had something they didn't have. And they pulled him aside and they said, teach us how to pray. Like you say the same words, you pray the same scriptures, but you've got something we haven't got. Teach us. And Jesus says, all right, well, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father. That's my Father. The way you see me connecting with the Father, you can say that too. My Father and Jesus' Father, our Father. That when I talk to Him, I'm not putting my faith in my prayers. I'm not having an idea, but I'm actually looking at the one I'm talking to. And this is what sets Christianity apart, that we are talking to the one who loves us more than life. It's a real and a dynamic relationship. Jesus died so that we could boldly approach the throne of grace. I call it eyeballing God. In that, I remember when my son was turning 21. He's my baby. He'll be my baby forever. But we were setting up decorations in the backyard, and it was blowing a gale. Decorations were blowing everywhere, and I'm rebuking the wind, and it's not stopping. And finally, I went into my bedroom, and I closed the door, and I eyeballed God. I just took a moment to think about who I was talking to. And then when I became aware of who I'm talking to, I said, Father, would you stop the wind for Joseph's party, please? I went outside. Everything was so still and calm the whole night long. And you might not think that's a miracle, but I know there's a difference between praying a prayer and talking to God. And I believe that there is a fresh move of the Spirit coming where God is going to revive, pour fresh breath onto our hearts by lifting up our heads. The glory and the lifter of our heads. Why? Because He wants you to see that He's smiling at you. You know, God's always kinder than we feel like we deserve. Matthew chapter 12, verse 20 says, a bruised reed He will not break, and smoking flax He will not quench. I think about that, and I think that's how God always deals with me. He's so kind. He's so good. I come to Him, and I think sometimes, you know, God, come on, just tell me, what do you need to change in me? I can take it. Come on, talk to me. Tell me. Come on, cut me deep. I want to change. Talk to me, God. And He'll say, I love you. I'll be like, yeah, yeah, I know. Everybody knows. Jesus loves me, this I know. Yeah, we know that. But no, I'm serious. Like, really? Just, I'm open. Talk to me, God. And He'll say, I love you. Or I know, I deserve Him to just, come on, tell me that I need to pull my act together. And he'll look at me with so much love in His eyes. You know, biblically, we read about that when Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler, who was thinking that he could achieve salvation by all that he could do and all the commandments he could keep. And we read there, Jesus looked at him and loved him. He didn't look at him and love him because he got it right, or because he was on the wrong track. He was looking to the law to try and justify himself. But the heart of Jesus is that He looks at us and He loves us. Even when we don't deserve it, he looks at us and He loves us. And understanding that is the reason that we can boldly approach the throne of grace. Because He is just like Jesus described Him. Jesus talked about what the Father was like when He told the story of the prodigal son. There's a Jewish boy who went and did all the things Jewish boys shouldn't do: gambling, prostitution, dishonoring the family. He knew better, and yet he did it anyway. And finally, when he ran out of money, he thought, well, my father's a good man. Maybe he'll let me work for him. And as he started to make his way home, from a long way off, the father saw him. And he ran toward him, wrapped his arms around him, smothered him with kisses. He didn't stop kissing him, called for a robe and shoes. And the boy had not even asked for forgiveness yet before his father was smothering him with kisses. And in the midst of the father's embrace, he says, "Father, I'm not even worthy to be called your son." And repentance comes in the midst of this overwhelming love and kindness. I understand this a little bit from having kids myself. As a mom, especially my little baby boy, like, I remember when he was just small and with his big blue eyes, I'd go out shopping, leave him with the mother-in-law and come home, and he'd be at the door, "Mommy, cuddles," when I walked through the door. And I couldn't help it. I'm like, "Oh, come here, baby, come here." I didn't stop at the door and say, "Well, hang on, let's just see how well you behave first." No, anything that needed to be sorted out could be sorted out on my lap later. And when I began to understand this about God, everything changed. You know, I used to think, "Oh, I got to get it all right before I can come into the presence of God." Yet the Bible tells us, come as you are. Come, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is our ever-present help, and he looks for those who will simply come. You know, as you take a step toward him, the Bible says, "Draw near to me and I will draw near to you." You might feel like one of these smoldering wicks or a bruised reed, but you can come and go, "Here I am. Here I am to worship, feeling like a hypocrite." But the Father will run towards you, wrap his arms around you, say, "Angels, come and look. Oh, aren't they lovely? Here come you, I love you." And we've got to have faith. We've got to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, this is amazing grace. This is the good news of the gospel, that if you will come to him, he will give you grace in abundance, that he will abundantly pardon, that he will give you his mercy and grace in your time of need. And as we come to worship him, as we come to pray, the Father wants you to know that in his embrace, your heart will open up to him. And that's where repentance can come from. That's where change can happen. The Father is longing for those who would open their hearts to receive. I want to show you just a little video test.